This is the NBC Academy Vortex of Submission course. Let me tell you a little bit about our plan for the day. We'll start with a self-connection exercise as soon as I tell you the overview here. Then we'll do a new style of check-in that we have found very connecting for people. That's the idea of a check-in, is to connect. We'll teach you a little bit about that after the self-connection exercise. We have a brief lesson prepared on one of the antidotes to the vortex of submission, which we call saying no. There'll be a chance for you to ask any questions or have some responses to the lesson. And then we'll have a written exercise where we practice this new skill that we'll be talking about today. And there'll be a chance for you to practice with each other in terms of a debrief, what you learned from this, getting some empathy from each other and so forth. A chance to practice honesty. Get to back together again in a large group to harvest whatever you've learned, answer any remaining questions, and then do a closing round. And then we'll, at the very end, we'll give you some ideas of how to practice what we teach you this week, if that is useful for you. We'll go on to the self-connection exercise. For the purposes of this exercise, you don't need any pen or paper or anything other than yourself and your body. Often it's helpful to begin a practice like this by setting your own intention for considering the answer to the question, why? Why would you want to do a self-connection exercise in this moment? And then it's often also very helpful to bring your attention to your breath, the most fundamental and basic of all of our human needs that we share. To just notice what it's like to have a need met with relative ease, with relative unconsciousness, unconscious competence we have at breathing. To just enjoy that many times each minute, we just breathe in order to sustain ourselves. And then to notice the quality of connection that happens when we bring attention to this natural process of meeting our needs. Then I'd just like to, for the rest of the self-connection exercise, lead you through a review of what we covered last week. And so, in your mind's eye, remember a time during the last week when somebody asked you to do something. Just pick one, it doesn't matter. Could even use this exercise, I just asked you to do something, which is to remember when somebody else asks you to do something. So as you connect with a time when somebody asks you to do something, just notice how your body feels when you hear them ask you to do it. And remembering that the way your body feels can give you a lot of information about what's important to you. So you hear this request, you notice some physical sensations in your body, some emotions, maybe notice what you're telling yourself. And if what you notice is something like, I have to do this, that you just let that be a signal to slow things down and to consider. Let's just assume that in this case that you do tell yourself you have to do it. So you just sit with that awareness, wow, I'm telling myself I have to do this. That's really, really important to just notice that you have this quality of awareness, that you can notice a distinction that maybe you didn't have before. And that awareness opens up a new choice for you. The choice to just, you can still comply, that's still available. You can still resist it. You can rebel against the request. Those two choices are still available to you. But you can also use this as an opportunity to connect with your own needs. What's up for you about this request? You make a gentle inquiry to your own heart. What's important to me right now in relationship to this request? Then from this place of being more connected to your needs, imagine that you transform this have-to energy into choose-to. I'm choosing to do whatever is being asked of me because blank is important to me. And just notice what happens in your own experience as you make that transformation for yourself. To notice now what's your emotional experience like as you're connected to what's important to you, what's valuable to you in relationship to this request. And just for the purposes of clarity, just notice, see if you can remember that first set of physical sensations and emotions, the first part of your emotional experience when you were telling yourself it was a have to, and compare that with the emotional experience of choose to. Know that this is measurement. This is an aid to you to let you know where you are in this moment in relationship to the request. And then as this exercise begins to transition into the next step, to just notice what it was like for you to try it, to do this brief review of what we covered last week. If it was useful for you, if it met any needs. If so, just celebrate that. And if not, well, that's important information too. Either is fine, and it might be both. And in a moment, we're going to transition into a check-in, a small group check-in where you'll be in pairs. And during this check-in, you can decide who's going to go first. And then once you have that in place, then each of you will have about 3 minutes to play the role of speaker and the role of listener in this pair. And when you're speaking, we'd love for you to share anything that's up for you about this class. It can be about this exercise that we just did, what it was like for you to sit with the awareness of have to and choose to during the past week, what it was like for you to try the practices, the exercises that we offered, or to not try them. Right now you're in your small groups and you can begin.
So welcome back into the large group. So I'd love to hear from a few of you about what you learned this week as you took what happened in the class and started viewing your world through that particular lens. Any questions, comments? The other thing I would also like to hear, there's actually two things. One is, what did you learn this week through your own exploration? And then two, any kind of feedback you can give us on the practices that we posted. Are you using them? Are they helpful? So I'd love to hear if you're using them or if you're not. Okay, Kim, thanks for commenting.
First of all, I would like to say that I did enjoy the handout, the printout practice sheet that you gave us, that you provided for us. To me, it was a great guide just in review. I've had a rather challenging week this week. I've had a death in my family. My sister passed away. It was not totally unexpected. But I guess just starting the grieving process and having other issues going on in my life at the same time that I'm grieving over, I've tried to be a bit gentle on myself and those around me. It has made me appreciate my family so much more. I've noticed that there were times that would have been have-tos in the past, that it's very easy and very freeing to be able to choose. I think that it helped tremendously, being able to choose and to notice those signs.
Yeah, really able to connect to the difference of the energy of that and your capability to choose. Yeah, thank you for sharing that. And I imagine with the situation, with the death in the family, there is a lot of need around and a time when have-tos could easily kick in. So I'm really celebrating with you that you have been able to navigate and notice that you could navigate with joy. Thank you. My heart's with you. All right. Anybody else want to comment or willing to comment? Anything you noticed? I'd also like to hear if you hit up against an edge during the week.
Yeah, big edges this week. I'd say there are definitely some extra stresses. My husband and I are going through the process. We've had a flood in our home, and very gratefully, nothing of real value to us was damaged, but the floors have to be redone, there's drywall, there's all kinds of stuff. We're actually moved out of our house for a couple of weeks, and it follows on the heels of, you know, already a pretty taxing couple of weeks ahead of that. And so I'm definitely finding this last week that I'm past a certain capacity, and I'll be really kind of pleased with myself that I'm just, you know, I'm staying in the consciousness or whatever, I'm noticing stuff, and then one more stimuli comes in and I lose it. I mean, I lose my patience, things come out of my mouth in a way and with an energy that afterwards is like, wow, just past my capacity. And so to really watch myself also just flip into power over and rebellion in an interaction with someone else that gets stressful, or I've just had some interactions with my husband that are just you know, very unusual for me, for us. So noticing that and having a lot of appreciation to be in this course, because I think I'm able to see some issues in higher contrast, actually. To experience myself as flipping so strongly into power over has been quite an experience.
You're able to stand back and actually see that and be aware of it instead of totally sucked into it in such an unconscious way that, you know, this is about who you are and who he is. So I'm celebrating that with you, that although that we hit hard times, that you're able to at least see what's going on and have that perspective.
Yeah, and I think my self-acceptance is growing. I'm not piling a lot of extra, oh my gosh, I'm a terrible person for having that happen. It's like, okay, wow, what are the needs? That was really intense. And beneficial regret, but not falling into an extra added pit over it. Celebrating that aspect as well. But wow, yeah. Really looking forward to increased capacity, just to become even more skillful when the heat is really on, to go to that different place and submit or rebel.
Yeah. Yes. I think that's what we all want. Thank you for sharing that so vulnerably. I am so aware of how easy it is to go unconscious and so value when we notice it. That's the first step in being able to make change, is to be able to at least see when it's happening. And I feel fairly hopeless that we won't fall into some habitual patterns. We'll be talking about several habitual patterns, but this overall habitual pattern of the vortex. And I feel fairly hopeless that we won't fall into it, at least that I won't. Maybe you'll be more capable than I am. But I don't have that expectation that I never do it. I just keep wanting to wake up more and more and celebrate every time I wake up. And that feeds into that piece on self-acceptance that you mentioned, just to look at what is working and what I've done that actually supports me, as opposed to beating myself up for some of the choices sometimes that don't support me. And this morning has been an incredible trial by fire for me. Not only did the power go off and I'm running around trying to figure out how we're going to do this class, but even before that, last night I realized that I was coming down with a bit of an infection. And I woke up this morning kind of on edge. You know that feeling when everything feels like someone's scratching on the blackboard? So this feeling inside of me of just tingling and tightness just above my heart, when no matter what happens, I'm asked about something and I can just move into being triggered so easily. And I'm not saying I was totally skilled at saying no, but I was at least saying no to those things that I could see weren't working for me. I was making choices. We have some construction people there. Do I want to talk about that right now? No, I don't want to talk about that right now. So one of the other options in terms of, as opposed to submission, is to be able to say no. And how we say no can affect the quality of connection that we have with people. Because as far as I can tell, having done this work for some time and talked to lots of people who have taken this work, one of the things that I learn is one of the scariest words in the English language is one of the shortest words in the English language, the word no. It's scary to hear and not get what we want, and we know what it feels like to hear no. Not always. I mean, sometimes it's a relief to hear no, but that whole idea of asking for what we want and being told no can trigger some intense feelings in us some of the time. And so on the other side of that, to say no is to be aware that we're likely to also trigger something that could be a stimulus for somebody else to react in a way that we won't enjoy. That's part of what makes it hard to say no. There's also the part of what we tell ourselves inside our own head about what we should do or we have to do. This idea of saying no to somebody else is one that we're going to explore more today. I know for myself, I have both reactions to no. There's a quality of trust that I have when I know someone will say no instead of just say yes. And that comes partially, I think, from having done this work around the vortex and to see what the effects are, price that I might pay if someone else says yes when they mean no. For me, I can see that that has led to so many relationships falling apart, as people feel more and more weighted down the yeses they've said and how they begin to feel resentful. And so I'm really glad to have relationships where I can trust that someone will say no. And that's predicated on a certain quality of trust that we actually care about each other. at least for me, and I think for many people that I've met, this whole idea that no means I don't matter, you don't care. So once we can establish that we care about each other, then the no becomes actually a trust-building, clarifying arrangement. So how do we build trust? Actually, I'd love to hear if anybody wants to respond to anything I just said. I just said quite a bit that might have been triggering for anybody, stimulating for anybody. I'd love to hear if anything stimulated for you. If you have a different experience, then I'd love to hear from also who might have a different experience. But meanwhile, Roberta.
A place I realized in the last week where I do get stuck is when I am not choosing openly with my heart is sometimes because I don't know how to hold my need and say yes. I don't know how to do that, or I don't know how to say no. So this that you're offering, I think, is really, it feels really significant for me in terms of that, and it often feels like I don't know how to hold both of these, and then a defensiveness, or I have to do something, I have to give up what I have for somebody else, or I say no and somebody's going to be upset. I really appreciate this topic. Thank you.
Thank you. Yeah, for me, unless we know how to respond in a different way, we're stuck in an either or, and we're stuck in a situation where it's either what you want or what I want. We live in this dichotomy, and that has a quality of that have to. You know, I have to either do what you want or I have to just disconnect or whatever. I either cave or I rebel. And so having an alternative is so really important. And so we have an opportunity for you to actually practice, to actually experience this through a practice so you can discover this on your own. And I'll give you a little bit of the highlight of it. One of the important premises for figuring out how to deal with the no inside of ourselves in a way that we think will serve the relationship and also serve ourselves and leave space for the other person to have a sense that they matter, is first of all to realize that behind every no is a yes. Not necessarily and sort of obviously not yes to what we're being asked, but we're saying yes to something else inside of ourselves. So, for example, when Jim brought up the topic of discussing what we're going to do with this repair and the repairman outside, there was so clearly a no inside of me. There was no part of me that had any trust that I could have that conversation in a way that would really honor my own integrity of support, because I could just feel how tense I was and nothing seemed okay. Yeah, it wasn't okay the way the person wanted to do it. It wasn't okay that we were even doing it. It's not okay we bought the house that needed this. I mean, nothing. You know, it's one of those, nothing's okay in this moment. And so it was so very clear to me that having that conversation would not serve. And yet at the same time, I knew he really wanted to have that discussion. I knew he really needed support. I just couldn't find it within myself at that point to give that support. What I was actually saying yes to was my own inner integrity and my own self-care, and saying yes to some level of protecting myself from actually what I was afraid might come out of my mouth that I would regret later. So that was what I was really saying yes to, was my own integrity. It wasn't that I was saying, no, I don't want you to have support. No, I don't want your need to get met. I'm saying yes to being clear about my own needs for my own integrity and my own self-care. So that's one piece of how we say no. That's actually, for me, the key piece. Now, we may be saying no to a very specific request that someone's making. Will you talk about this right now? But I might actually be saying yes to the other person's need. I really want you to have support. Then I look inside myself and I determine, do I have enough energy to at least support you in figuring out a way to meet your own need? So that too is a choice. Can I say yes to that? And if I'm feeling any level of resource, which I wasn't this morning, then I wanted to go to the next step and then to connect with the other person's need and see if there isn't some way, add some of my creativity with the person to support them in coming up with something that might work for them. So, again, I'd like to hear if anything comes up for you around what I've just shared. Okay, Kim?
What you just said about supporting the other person in their meeting their own needs, that's a new way to look at it for me. Sometimes I hear, you're not meeting my needs, but that's not really... No one can meet our needs, can they? I mean, we can only meet our own needs. I think we
can contribute to each other. There's no doubt about that. But it's a question of whose responsibility the other person's need is. And we can take it on as our responsibility, but ultimately it's theirs. We get to choose. We don't have to take on that responsibility. Even as a mother, you have children, and you have made a choice based on what I know of you and based on what my being a mother is. So if I'm representing you inaccurately, certainly let me know. But you have made a choice to take on the responsibility of these children to support their well-being, to support their health and their education, various things. You've taken on a certain quality of responsibility there. So that's a choice. Right. And ultimately, I'm guessing your hope is that you're taking on this responsibility of helping them to become more and more self-responsible.
Right.
Does that make sense? Yeah. Based on the system on this planet, in this human body, you know, we as parents are taking on a responsibility with, what was that phrase just went through my mind, planned obsolescence. You know, it's the way it's going to be.
Right.
Yeah.
And I guess I was thinking more in a relationship issue where you don't always know what that need is unless you're told or unless you're asked or request has been made. And I think that's sometimes that's where I get lost, having to assume too much. Does that make sense?
Yes, it makes a lot of sense to me because part of our coming into partnership is that we are coming into a partnership to share responsibilities, and that can easily feed into expectations that people might have of each other, that one is supposed to take care of me in a particular way. And definitely what you said about without a clear request, we don't even know what that might look like. We may not even know what the need is unless we're told. Yeah. What are the actual agreements that we have with each other? And what are we actually responsible for? And a key part for me of a relationship is to have clear lines about what part of the responsibility we're actually taking on. And so far what we've been looking at is that we take those on as a choose to, instead of a have to. then this next piece is, even if we have chosen to already, is how do we say no when it's a no in this moment? I can't drive. I consumed a glass of wine, even though I know I agreed that I would do the driving. I didn't know that we were going to be going in the car. You know, whatever it is, you know, there's whatever we've agreed to, at some point we can end up with ourselves in a situation where we're saying no to something. So we have a practice for doing that.
So you want me to lead that?
That'd be great. Thank you, Jim.
Okay, great. So we'll need a piece of paper and a pen. So the first step is to think of somebody in your life that you have a hard time saying no to. This could be your spouse, your boss, a friend, your kid, your parents. First think of somebody that you have a hard time saying no to. You just write their name down so that you can connect with them. And then write down a specific observation of a time when this person made a request of you. So what you would write down is something like, the contractor said that he wanted to be paid before he leaves today. So something that brief. All right, so let me just say a little bit about this observation thing in NVC, just as a reminder that this is just the facts, just, you know, the things that might be recorded by a video camera. So just look what you wrote down and make sure there's no evaluation in your observation. It's not that there's not a place for that evaluation. It's just often helpful to distinguish the evaluations from the observations. So, for example, I didn't say that greedy contractor asked to be paid before he went home today. I just wrote down the contractor asked to be paid before he went home today, taking out that evaluation of greedy. But just check what you wrote down and make sure there's no evaluation that snuck in there, and edit it if it did. And we'll move on to the next question here. So imagine that they asked you to do this thing, and then just tune into your body and notice what your emotional experience was when you heard their request. Write down a description of what you notice inside your body. Some of what you might write down is, when I heard the contractor ask for money, I noticed my stomach kind of clutch, and I noticed my jaw got a little bit tight. And I was feeling apprehensive. And I was telling myself, it's a never-ending request for him to get paid. Seems like a bottomless pit. So those are the three elements of my emotional experience, my physical sensations, my emotions, and what I'm telling myself. So describe for a moment to yourself, write it down, what your emotional experience is, any part of that that you would like to write about. Just a brief self-connection. Okay. So this basically what this step is about is kind of a continuation of what we worked on last week, of beginning to fine-tune our awareness of what our emotional experience is in the face of a request from somebody else, to notice in ourselves whether we have have-to energy or whether we have an open heart. It's not that one is right and one is wrong. It's just important to notice where we are energetically when we hear the request of another person, because it gives us some information about what might be important to do next. If you notice some have-to energy, then you can go through the process of transforming the have-to to choose-to. If you don't, then you can just move forward with joy in meeting the need. And then the third thing that you might notice is a no, that there's a sense of no coming up in you. So that's important to notice, and we'll talk in the debrief a little bit more about how you know when no is there for you. So that's the self-connection part of this process. It's just, again, this fine-tuning of our own awareness of what's important to us, what's going on in us. And the clue is our feelings, the emotional experience, physical sensations, emotions, and what we're telling ourselves. And after a little bit of self-connection, now we can turn our attention to the person who asked us for something. So as you bring your attention back to the person, in this case the contractor for me, I'm going to consider what's up for them, what's important to them that might be motivating their request of me. And so I know from talking to this contractor that he got sick and he didn't work for a while, and so he's probably catching up financially, and so having daily support is really important to him. So support would be one need, maybe he's really wanting to contribute to the well-being of his family. I know he's got a 12-year-old kid, and so I'm guessing that's what's important to him. Really just taking care of his own needs for sustenance and maybe hit the needs for his family. So take a moment and consider with some empathy what might be behind the request of the person asking you for something. A couple of guesses about what their need is. And by the way, if you have trouble with this step, that's really, I don't want to say normal, but it's natural, I guess, might be it. It's common for people to have a challenge with this step. I'd actually like to pause here and do a round and just hear. I don't have to hear the observation or your feelings, but I would just like to hear what need you're guessing is motivating the request in the other person, and to acknowledge that you don't have to know the correct answer here. It's just a guess, just an empathic guess, so there's no way you can make a mistake with this. And it might give me the opportunity to coach a little bit about making sure you're at the need level, but maybe not. We'll find out. What did you guess the other person was needing when they asked you for this?
Support, care, and respect.
Great, thanks. Teresa?
Connection, spontaneity, and love.
Okay, great, thanks. Kim?
Respect, consideration, and connection.
Respect, consideration, and connection. Okay, great, thanks. Annie?
Well, at first I was guessing that this person needed to submit. Then I came up with ease, respect, and consideration.
Yeah, great. Thank you. Yeah, I really like that you said that, because sometimes the first initial guess might not always fit, and it can help us to go a little bit deeper, especially when you hold it lightly like you did. I appreciate that. Charlene?
She wants to be comfortable in a safe, newer car, and it would make her feel good about herself.
Okay, so safety and comfort, and then maybe some sense of really feeling good about yourself. Like maybe it's kind of like a sense of of really being seen, something like that?
Yeah.
Okay, great, thanks. And we'll go to Roberta next.
Support, some comfort, and time for self, self-care, just time for self.
Okay, great, thanks. Doreen?
Ease and self-care.
Ease and self-care. Okay, great. Thanks. Jean?
Support and security and contribution.
Okay, great. Thanks. And Louise?
Self-connection, support, and connection.
Okay, great. Thanks. Well, thank you for doing that because it really demonstrated a common theme that I hadn't really thought of, but how often the need for support is motivating somebody else to make a request of us, and how just remembering that helps me to realize that they probably wouldn't be asking for it unless it was important to them. And so I just notice as I kind of connect to that, that my heart softens a little bit, and because I really want them to get what the support that they would like. And so I really appreciate noticing that theme. So now we turn our attention back to you. What came up in you was a no. And like Jory mentioned in her lesson, what are you saying yes to? What's the need behind the no? What's the need alive in you that's motivating you to want to not comply to this? And so you can begin by first noticing how you feel again as you consider their request. And then note for yourself what's important to you. What are you saying yes to? What you're saying yes to in terms of your needs. So, for example, if I didn't want to pay the contractor right now, what I might be saying yes to is some clarity that he was going to finish the job and not leave me hanging. Maybe it's around clarity or assurance or reassurance or something like that might be what the need behind my no is. Let's just go through and, again, hear these needs. These are equally important. One of the values I have in this work is equivalence, that everybody's needs have equal value, that your needs in this situation are equal in importance to the person who's asking you the question. So I want to give equal airtime to what's important to you. What's the need behind your no? And we'll start this time with Roberta.
A sense of calm or balance.
Yeah, calm or balance, the sort of the feelings that arise for you with inner peace and with balance. Okay, great.
Yeah,
thank you. Charlene?
I wrote self-preservation, not taking a financial risk right now. I'm not sure. Is that a need for safety?
Yeah, so you're really wanting to protect your current financial state. It's really important to you right now.
Right.
Great.
Thank you.
Annie?
Maybe you can help me get some clarity. The situation is somebody is asking me to make a phone call to ask somebody else something, and the sense that I have inside is that if they say no, mattering would come up, but if they say yes, that then I owe something in return. I'm not quite sure how to figure out what that need is. Is that about equality or equivalence maybe, or
Yeah, I'm hearing a couple of needs. One would be like equivalence, and another just a need for connection, that before you really say yes, you would really like to connect with any potential costs that you might not be aware of yet. So maybe clarity, too.
Thank you. Yes.
Okay, great. Thanks. Go to Kim next.
I came up with E and self-care.
Yeah, ease and self-care. Great. All right. Teresa?
What I wrote was my own commitment to myself and keeping integrity with my own word, myself.
Yeah, so really keeping an integrity with a very important value that you have, and like keeping an agreement with yourself, that quality of alignment with yourself is really important to you. Great. Thank you. River?
I came up with order, integrity, and autonomy.
Okay, great. Louise, and then Jean.
Well-being, authenticity, connection.
Okay, great. Jean, and then Doreen.
Safety, healing, and security.
Safety, healing, and security. Thank you. Doreen, and then we'll get back to the next step.
I said order, balance, and ease, which was interesting because I feel like my need for ease and the other person's need for ease are not aligning.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, great point. Thank you for pointing that out, that sometimes we may have, in relationship with other people, we may have two completely polar opposite strategies for how to meet the same need. I know this happens sometimes with Jory and me. I tend to recharge my batteries as an introvert by having space and alone time. Sometimes Jory really recharges her batteries by talking and connecting. So we both have this need to recharge our batteries, to regain some strength in order to take on the next task, and we have completely opposite strategies for meeting the same need. And in fact, that seems to often be the case. We've been mediators for almost 20 years, and that's so common that the source of conflict is nothing about the need directly, but it's about our ideas about how we would like to have the need met, which kind of brings us to the next step in the process. If you're familiar with NVC, you've probably intuited what might be coming next, and that is the request. A request in this way of thinking that sometimes we call NVC or radical compassion or whatever you want to call it, this other way of looking at the world, a request is an offering, like a gift that's freely coming from your heart. It's something that you can say yes to that in this case is going to include your need and the need that the other person has expressed or that you've guessed. So see if you can come up with a request that might contribute to both needs. So in my case with the contractor, I might be able to say, you know, Tom, I'm really understanding that I'm guessing that you'd really like to get paid today because there's some needs up for you around sustaining yourself or your family. And yet I'm also noticing the reluctance in me because I really want some reassurance that you'll finish the job. So how about this? Would this work for you that I pay you half of what you would like today and half tomorrow and at the conclusion of the job? Would that work for you? Something like that. So again, come up with a request or two that you might like to try. So we're going to debrief the exercise in two small groups, one with Jory and one with Jim. And so in just a moment, you'll find yourself in a small group with one of us or the other of us.
Okay, in our group, how about we do a round? So to start with, so Annie, do you want to share what your request is and or how you express your own need or acknowledge theirs?
What I ended up doing was sharing a little bit about what I was uneasy about, and then asking the other person for some clarity about that. So I guess I just needed more connection.
Uh-huh. That makes a lot of sense. You are actually maintaining connection, and without saying yes to something you don't feel good about, and what you're saying yes to is your own clarity. and sharing that directly with them. Thank you.
And some authenticity and, about just feeling uneasy.
Yeah, your own authenticity. Thank you. Those are really the pieces. There's authenticity, there's empathy, and then a request. Thank you. And let's go to you, Louise. You want to share your empathy and your authenticity with the request in whatever order feels comfortable for you?
Sure. Just express the request or some of it all the way through?
Yeah, as much as you want. Either just the request or if you want to add some acknowledgement of your own need and some acknowledgement of their need.
In the situation, it's like you and Jim mentioned, I energize by closing in, resting, and my husband energizes by going out and interacting. And so he wanted to go for a drive, and I wanted to be in sync with him and connect, but I knew I was just really tired. So how about if I take a 30-minute nap, and then we go for a drive outside the city, wherever you want. He energizes by just wandering a little bit. It goes a little deeper than that, but yeah, that's sort of the option.
How about we go now to Kim? Where are you with this? What'd you get? Just for practice, what do you think it would sound like in the situation you've identified? So kind of give it a voice right now.
Sure, thanks. In this particular case, this work-related issue that I'm thinking of, I am asked to do something that I don't feel comfortable doing, and that I don't want to say no for everything. I want to allow this person to consider looking at things on a more individual basis. You know, I understand your need for wanting to see all of these patients, but how about if we look at them on a more individual basis?
Uh-huh. I love that because it's really an invitation. How about? And, you know, it makes the space for that person to really respond. There's some openness. So how is that for you kind of thing? So thank you. Okay, we'll go to Roberta. Where have you come with this?
I had a situation where I was able to come up with a request and say that I would so enjoy giving this person time for, you know, some self-care, something they really wanted to do. And yet, I guess it's the authenticity piece that I don't often verbalize. I might say something like, I'm struggling to fit my work into the evening before I go to bed and get, you know, what I need done. And so I am wondering if you might be willing to maybe cook or clean up dinner to give me a little bit more time or something else. I don't know. You know, something like that.
Mm-hmm. Uh-huh. How does that feel?
It's good. This whole piece is new to me. I think what I do is it's been a lot for me sometimes to put my own need out there, like what I'm needing. I'm needing time to finish a project and fit that in, so can you help me by doing something? It's sometimes been hard, so it's like I'm trying on something new. It feels good. It feels right, and I love hearing the words or kind of the codes that think maybe I can start to kind of play with and remember a bit, the empathy, the authenticity, and then the invitation.
Yeah, so you have something to play with. And it's acknowledging that piece. I've asked you, a few of you, just how it felt to actually say this, because we're back to, are we even submitting to even discussing
yeah.
it or saying anything? And just to really get to that place where you can say yes to something in your being and come forth with it.
Yeah, when you put it that way, it's very good because it's really affirming. It's like both. There's room for both here.
Yeah.
That just feels so good.
Uh-huh.
It's not you or me. It's both.
Yeah, and when we're at the need level, needs can coexist. They do coexist. Yeah, that's part of the wholeness of who we are. They coexist. strategies may be in conflict, but not needs. And so if we allow those needs to be the guidance, then we can just come from our heart and remain open.
When you say they coexist, and that's because they're what's alive and what's real in two people, for example.
Yeah, because they coexist within each of us.
Yeah.
Each of us has all those needs.
So we could have it or empathize with it in the other person.
Yeah.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Thank you.
You're welcome. And I see that we're all back into the main room here. I want to cover a few things before we complete the call. One is that, again, we'll put some practices into the classroom. Say something about these practices. I really enjoyed the comments I heard from people in the beginning of the call about how, you know, I didn't do it religiously. I didn't use those words, but, you know, I didn't do it religiously, but I found some value in it. And that just tickles me, just really tickles me, because I want to live in a world and develop myself and support other people in developing in a way that everything we do, we follow our own inner discernment, that, I'll take this piece, not this piece, or I'm making a different choice, something else is important to me instead, or maybe if I just concentrated on this one part, I'll actually get what I'm looking for right now. That seems to be where it is. Whatever your own discernment around these practices is what I invite you to play with. Okay, so we'll do a checkout, and I'd love to hear anything you want to share that helps you feel complete. And in particular, what I'd like to hear is if there's a nugget, what's the nugget that you're taking away? If there's a gem in here, I'd like to hear that. Anybody in particular want to start first? Okay, we'll go to River.
Hi. The nugget I'll take away is remembering to make requests. Simple as that.
Thank you. Now we'll go to Teresa and then Kim.
The nugget for me is a lot of the things that you were saying about the no being really a yes, and Jim saying train ourselves to hear the yes rather than the no. That was really important to me, I think, in the context of relationship and really developing connection and dynamic with someone or with more than one person, many people in my life, where we can really trust each other to say no, and that is a sign of more love and more commitment to the relationship rather than the way that I react all the time, which is a withdrawal with that word.
Thank you. Kim and then Annie?
I'm already looking ahead, but I'm going to have to teach myself just to slow down and think through these interactions where I need to formulate a clear request, because I really struggle with that portion of it. I'm already looking forward to your practice notes.
Great. Thank you. I hear you've hit an edge here that you're going to play with. Thank you. And Annie and then Charlene.
I've actually spent a lot of the last 2 hours crying. Holding right now is how much self-acceptance I need around being really unclear of my needs.
Thank you, Doreen, and then to Charlene. Hi, Doreen.
I was struck in the very beginning when the idea of my response when somebody says no, it's almost a shock to me, because I'm so careful about not saying no. Jory, you mentioned about behind every no there's a yes. That was a new way of thinking for me. That's going to be my nugget.
Mm-hmm. Now you have a way not to say no, but not to give up on yourself either. Okay. And Charlene, and then Roberta.
Well, one is best. I realized the other person's needs are equally as important as mine, and it's time for me to stop treating myself like a child. I have to make myself do something, and I want to trust myself as an adult and know that I'm capable to choose to do it.
That's really huge, not just for you, for many, but yeah, I'm celebrating that with you. It's a huge piece. Thank you. I'm so glad for that. And Roberta, and then Jean?
The nugget that I'm taking is that it really feels so good to be authentic in a request and to fit that in with the empathy and to really put out there what's real for me and what I'm wanting as an invitation to somebody else.
Mm-hmm. Thank you. So we'll go to Eve.
Yeah, along with that, getting in touch with the dancing with the no, it's really helpful for me to be the clear place of when I get the stimulus to check in with these three things kind of in a row, physical, emotional, what I'm saying to myself. That's just like, yes, just this quick laundry list that I can follow down, and that'll really, under stress, will give me a sense of a reading on where I am and what's important to me. So I was really appreciating that. Thanks.
Jean, go ahead next.
Yes, I think the important nugget I'm taking away this evening that I am going to be repeating to myself is that I'm training myself to never hear another no.
Mm-hmm. Yay, the turnaround that behind everybody else's no, there's a yes too. Yay. And Jim, would you like to check out?
Yeah, you bet. I'm really feeling happy. I really love this checkout in hearing the nuggets. And each one was a nugget for me too. And so now I have this little bag full of nuggets. So I feel very rich and wealthy. And I'm really glad we're doing this class together. And that's it for me. Thanks.
Yeah, I was deeply touched, actually, at the richness of who you are and this wonderful group that, for me, that's just that co-learning with you. So I'm delighted to be connecting with all of you, and your nuggets are like jewels that I get to have, too. They're all really important. Thank you. All righty. So on that note...
Aloha.
Aloha.
This recording is copyrighted by the NVC Academy and is for personal use only. To support our sustainability, redistribution of this recording is prohibited without written consent of the NVC Academy. Thank you.